God has the power to do something no one else in all the world could ever do. He can always bring good out of evil. For example, the death of Christ was the most atrocious crime ever committed by mortal man. But because of Christ's death, untold millions of people of every race and culture have entered into the assurance of life eternal. After his crucifixion, the body of Jesus Christ was touched only by those who gave honor to his name. I read in John 19, verse 38, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus." Now here we are introduced to a new name. Nothing is recorded in the New Testament about Joseph of Arimathea prior to Christ's death on the cross. Obviously, he stood close by and watched all the proceedings. Now, it would seem that Joseph of Arimathea had been a believer for some time. Doubtless John 12, 42 and 43 had reference to him as well as others like him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. It might well be that Joseph of Arimathea was fearful of his position as a member of the Sanhedrin. But after witnessing the sufferings and death of our Savior, Joseph of Arimathea changed his course. Christ's disciples had forsaken him and fled, but Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and evidenced his own personal discipleship with Christ as he besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. Now keep in mind, Pilate did not want to crucify Jesus in the first place. What more could he do than to grant permission to proceed with his gesture of kindness? Perhaps Joseph called on some of the bystanders to help him remove the cross from the hole in the ground. Gently laying it down, he carefully removed the nails from the hands and feet of our Lord. Had it not been for Joseph of Arimathea, we might wonder what happened to the body of our Lord. But of course, God the Father had arranged for the burial of his Son. Long before this, God chose Joseph of Arimathea to fulfill this responsibility. Remember Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9. "And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." That refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was buried with the rich. An old friend appeared at this point, one who had been known before, but about whom little is said in the Bible. "And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight." Now Nicodemus had been a secret believer like Joseph of Arimathea. He had sought out Jesus at night, you will remember, probably because he too feared his position as a member of the Sanhedrin. But one cannot overlook Nicodemus's steady, though slow, growth in grace. First, he appeared to Christ in the darkness of night as a humble inquirer. Later, he took a stand for Christ in the midst of the Jewish council, speaking in favor of our Lord. Now, he boldly steps out to aid Joseph in the preparation of Christ's body for burial. Let Nicodemus be a reminder to all of us. What we do for God should not be relegated to the future. We read in 1 Samuel 21:8, "The king's business required haste." It still does. And what we are going to do for God, let's do it right now. Don't postpone it, but get busy for God today and be his faithful servant today. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight, the Bible says. Not only was this gift extremely costly, but very heavy. You see, the Roman pound was 12 ounces. Thus, the burden borne by Nicodemus was approximately 75 pounds. How far he carried this, we are not told. Now John goes on to say in verse 40, "Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury." Note another of the many details of Scripture here. Christ was not embalmed, and the body mutilated, as was done among the Egyptians, nor was he put into a coffin. He was wrapped and bound in linen clothes, on which the mixture of myrrh and aloes had been poured, so as to be pressed against his skin. Here is another evidence of the fact that Christ actually died. Certainly Joseph and Nicodemus would have sensed any life in the body of our Lord during this laborious process of wrapping his body scores of times before completing their work. Now verse 41. "Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher wherein was never man yet laid." Can you not visualize the two grief-stricken men as they walked slowly toward the beautiful garden where they carefully placed our Savior in the tomb which had only recently been hewn in the rock? He who created the world and possessed everything was buried in a borrowed tomb. When he was born into the world, he was placed in a borrowed manger. We are living in an age when much emphasis is placed upon the accumulation of wealth and property. For many, success is associated with things. Listen, was Christ successful in his life? Now, the ungodly would claim that he was an absolute failure. But those of us who know him are aware that he was perfectly successful because of his faithfulness and obedience to the Father. That's where it is, dear friend. We are to be faithful to God and obey God. Here's where the blessing is. Christ was always faithful. He was always obedient. Are we? Do we do what God wants us to do? Are we in the place of service today where we should be, glorifying God, magnifying his name? Now look at verse 42. "There laid they Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand." Here we detect more of the love and devotion Nicodemus and Joseph had for Christ. They must have labored hard and fast in order to place Jesus in the tomb before 6 o'clock, for it was not until 3 o'clock in the afternoon that our Lord released his spirit. Thus, there were less than 3 hours for Joseph to get permission from Pilate to take the body from the cross and for Nicodemus to join him in caring for the burial. Thus ended the most memorable funeral of all history. But this is not without its message for every true believer. Should we fear the grave? Definitely not. The grave is not the end. There is more to come. What a wonderful and thrilling hope believers have in Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friend, I hope you have this hope. I hope you know Christ. If you don't know him, you can know him because he loves you. He proved it when he went to the cross and died for you and gave all he had that you might have everlasting life. Why don't you trust him right now? God is ready, and he will receive you. Blessed Father, we thank you for all you have made possible for those of us who are deserving of nothing. God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. I pray today for some who need Christ. God, help them to see that they need him. And then may they turn to him by faith and say, "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. I know, Father, according to the promises of your word, that you will save them. And I praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen."